Good evening. I would call this meeting of the DEIA Task Force to order at 6:31 p.m. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Benjamin Beaupre.
Here.
Jason Benda.
Here.
Barb Resner.
Here.
John Farney.
Here.
Aquia. Here. Jacqueline Calipini. Donald Owen, Cece Phillips,
here.
Kathleen Robbins,
here.
Heather Rumpel,
here.
Irene Weathersby,
here.
Jamala Rogers,
present. We have a quorum. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda? Moved by Jason. Thank you. Do I have a second? By JJ, thank you. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, the agenda is approved. Oh, sorry. Vote, please. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The agenda is approved. Moving on to public participation, I have three requests. The first is from Clerk Aaron Ammons.
All right, good evening, everyone. Welcome to your first task force meeting. Thank you for your service. I know it's never easy, but it's going to be rewarding. I hope that you all will be able to offer a lot to the community, to each other, and that you might get something from the public as well. So I have come here tonight because this issue of diversity has been a major issue in my life for my entire life, but I've been serving the community dealing with these issues of diversity for probably over 20, 25 years now. Culminating in a position on the State University Retirement System Board, where I served for 6 years as a trustee. The State University Retirement System Board was then a $20 billion pension fund, now probably close to $25 or $30 billion. When I entered as a trustee for the State University Retirement System, diversity, when money managers would come in asking for $100 million, $200 million, $500 million to invest, on the very last page of their proposal would be something about diversity, and they would make up and fudge numbers and say that minority included everybody, including white women, and they would just kind of fluff it, and nobody took it serious. By the time I left the board 6 years later, there was a diversity committee. I was the diversity chair, and that they were committed to having a chief diversity officer, which they now have at CSRS. So I believe I'm quite qualified to come and share with you all some perspective on what diversity, equity, and inclusion actually means. I'm a former president of a union. I have family members who are in various different groups of marginalized people. So I have personal experience as well. And as you can see, I'm a black man. Okay. Now, I also have in front of me a resolution 4872 that was signed by the county board in 2004. This is a economic development policy that some of the goals are listed here that about providing diverse employment opportunities. This was 20 years ago. I work here. I'm the department head of the county clerk and recorder's office, so I walk around this building often. After 20 years of focus on diversity, there's a lot of work still yet to be done. There are some departments here in Champaign County that have no people of color at all, and there could be 15, 16 people there, and there are no people of color who work in those in some of those departments. I know that diversity is broader than race. I know that it deals with gender and it deals with socioeconomic status and deals with abilities, all of those different things, right? One of the things that I focus on when I ran for clerk was to focus on accessibility. Ms. Bresner, I've been at plenty of the disability expos to come and share how to make voting easier for members in the community who are disabled. So I just want to show that this is an economic conversation for me, okay? I have did a lot of social justice stuff and all that stuff, but now what I see in a capitalist society is that the group that I represent, the African American community, needs to have access to the opportunities, especially government dollars. We pay taxes like everybody else, okay? And so just to give you a little bit of a backdrop, I have been raising a lot of noise and making a lot of people uncomfortable around the $40 million of building projects that we did here in Champaign County that did not have diversity goals tied to them, and they should have and could have because there were federal dollars tied to it. I shared this information with Executive Summers and the finance director and the chair at that time, and it all went to naught. None of them listened to what we shared. I brought in an individual, Mr. Larry Ivory, from the state Black Chamber of Commerce to explain how RFPs are supposed to be put together to make sure that there are goals and there's participation from the African-American community. It was all ignored, okay? So I'm here tonight to impress upon you that diversity, equity, and inclusion goes beyond staff. It should include vendors for procurement. It should include contracts that are, whether that's construction contracts or highway type of work through our highway division. But any tax dollar that is spent by Champaign County should have a lens in which diversity, equity, and inclusion, it should be seen through that lens, where all of us, all of the taxpayers have access to the opportunities to benefit from those tax dollars. And at this particular point, to give you an illustration, the $40 million that we spent of tax dollars, that should have meant 18% on each project for African Americans. That would have come to about $7.2 million. And at this stage, I think we might get somewhere around 3.3 or 3.6 of that total 7.2 that our community should have received if there had been goals and goals on these projects that would have allowed for contractors as well as workforce development to reach those that number of 18%. And that is a floor. When I worked at CSRS, it was a 20% goal that we had for minority involvement. And when you look at the state, there's a 30% goal that they have for minority participation. It is long past time for Champaign County to step up to the plate and not just talk about workforce and staff diversity, but also to guarantee access for the African American community to have contracts as well. And you can look at that economic development plan for yourselves. Lastly, I have shared a couple of documents with Chair Carter because, as I told you before, I was a trustee for CSRS. And our procurement and staffing inclusion policy then at CSRS and what it represents now, when they talk about the purpose of diversity and inclusion for procurement and staffing inclusion, this policy outlines the state university retirement system goals for diversity in our staff, investment managers, fiduciaries, and outside vendors. I'm just trying to drive home the point that diversity, equity, and inclusion has to be inclusive. And so if you have staff, you also have vendors, you also have contractors, there's various different components of the county. So it's not just a staff situation. Diversity, equity, and inclusion is broader than that. So I don't want to belabor this point. There are a couple of gentlemen here who I think will be helpful in getting you to understand a little bit about contracting. The last point that I also shared this with Chair Carter, Chair of the Board Carter, no offense to Chair Rogers for this particular task force. But there was a questionnaire that we provided for all people who responded or organizations that responded to our RFP. That questionnaire detailed for us and gave us more insight as to what their commitment was to diversity. And if they did not fill out the RFP, then we would not consider, if they did not fill out the questionnaire, we would not consider their RFP. Okay, and if you think about that, there's a situation that developed here in Champaign County where had we had this questionnaire, we would have saved the taxpayers thousands and thousands of dollars. I don't know if that was $20,000 or $200,000 that we had to pay extra to a contractor after we paid them what we agreed to pay them on the contract because they refused to bring diversity and the level of diversity that we need on these contracts. The executive had to go back and meet with them again in Peoria to demand that they change to increase their diversity numbers, but that required thousands more of our tax dollars just to get that company, PJ Hoare, to actually step up to the plate and pay and actually increase their diversity numbers. So I want you all to understand that this impacts us all if we do not take this seriously. It's your tax dollars that will be wasted as well as ours. Thank you all for listening. I appreciate your time. And I look forward to this committee being robust and doing some great work. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, I have Patrick Thompson.
Good evening. My name is Patrick Thompson. I am president and owner of VIA Inc. We are a certified MBE contractor in construction. Been in business for 15 years. We perform concrete work throughout Champaign, throughout Central Illinois. And I'm here tonight to kind of talk with you guys again. I've been here several times over the last 10, 12 years talking about the same issue about minority contracting on you guys, construction projects, purchasing, you name it. Now I've been involved in diversity for a very long time. I helped the city of Champaign get their CDAP program in place. I helped the Champaign School District get their program in place. So I'm here tonight to kind of share with you guys that as an MBE contractor, we travel. We go all the way up to past Kankakee, Effingham, over to Quincy. And a lot of the contractors, we bid as a subcontractor, and sometimes we bid as a prime contractor. But without these minority goals that the state, Illinois State, has put on the state projects, we would not be being used. I've been on contracts where we've been awarded as an MBE contractor, and then there's project, and with these same general contractors, there's private work sometime, and they say, hey, if it ain't no goals on it, we're not going to use you. And that's what I've been told, and that's just how it is. Now, the commission, the Illinois State has a new Commission on Equity and Inclusion. They're a state agency, and we pay for them their tax dollars, and they can come in and help you guys put together. Matter of fact, you guys can adopt the Illinois State program. I would advise you to adopt that. It's already you guys are a municipality, you guys are a taxing body, and most of all the other municipalities have adopted the same program. There's, you know, some of them have a little bit of this or some changes here and there, but Peoria, Decatur, Springfield, Champaign, you know, other state agencies are mandated to follow the Illinois Business Enterprise. It's a statute, and I would advise, and I'll leave my business card here. If you guys can email me, I can send you guys a link. But they would easily come in and help you guys say, hey, this is how you put together a program, or you guys can adopt their program, which I would advise you guys to adopt it. The program has been around for a while, so it has some history. And most of the general contractors that you guys see or use also bid those state projects. So they are accustomed to these programs. They know about these programs. It's not nothing new to them. And also you create competition. You don't have one or two general contractors bidding your project and coming in way over budget. You have several contractors. You'll have contractors like me. So you're opening up the competition, and you'll see diversity, but you need to be looking at adopting a program. You don't have to recreate the wheel or go out and find them, and I don't think that's necessary. But like I said, I'll leave my business card. You guys can email me. I can send you guys the website. You guys can reach out to them as a body and say, hey, we're interested, or we want to look at how can we adopt your program. Because, like I said, again, most of the other cities, the other municipalities have adopted the Illinois State BEP, Business Enterprise Program. The university, you know, they're mandated to utilize that program as well as other state agencies. But the municipalities, CDAP is kind of centered around that a little bit, and all the rest of the other municipalities that have adopted minority contracting goals and workforce goals have it. Now, you guys also have a local highway bulletin that you guys put out. I think it comes out once a month. You know, if it gets federal funds, it's required to have DBE participation on there, disadvantaged business enterprise. So it's required to have that on there because it's federal highway dollars. So if you guys are not doing that, then you guys probably need to be looking at that, because I believe you guys would be in violation of not having goals on those projects if there's contractors in the area that can perform that type of work. So, again, I'll leave a couple of business cards here. You guys can feel free to contact me. I can send you, you know, and hope I could, hopefully I would like to see the Champaign County adopt a program where we can see diversity on construction project and purchasing and et cetera. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, I have Antoine Neely.
Good evening. My name is Antoine Neely. Good evening. I'm Antoine Neely. I'm also a local contractor. Do a lot of procurement here in the Champaign-Urbana area. I've got a commercial glass company, and I've worked primarily throughout the state, prisons, hospitals, and things like that. And I'm also locally doing some work on their fire station number 2 and number 3 for the city of Urbana, as well as some other projects in Vermilion County that rely on DCOE money. So oftentimes when I came here and I learned about this, I just wanted to sort of share the idea that if we build it, they will come. And I know that sometimes in the face of things that we've not seen before, we just need a little bit of light, or someone who's maybe had that journey a little bit. And so as opposed to being maybe more of a contentious conversation, I just wanted to have you kind of focus your thoughts a little bit as you go through this process. And this is maybe just the beginning of that process, but maybe just to consider that I find myself oftentimes in spaces where I'm welcomed and it's embraced. I don't tend to, you know, want to bang my head in some spaces where there, for example, it's not a goal for diversity or a requirement for it. I tend to find myself, and maybe Patrick and other contractors, we go places where we're welcomed. And so if the county finds itself in a position where they can do a lot of educational work around how they can create those opportunities, then I'm sure you will find that there will be people who can respond to those various things. So I'm more recently working with the University of Illinois Cross Construction on asphalt materials and supply. And so that's been partially successful, but again, it's a window into a space that I hadn't otherwise been into. So they kind of look to me and say, wow, I've never really thought about someone that can supply, you know, liquid asphalt as someone that I might look for a level of diversity. So as the diverse contractor, we oftentimes have to pivot in our own spaces to find areas in ways that aren't just the traditional ways of maybe, I don't want to sound maybe negative, but I think that using them, our minds as opposed to our back. And we look at workforce development as one way, and sometimes the only way to receive that diversity. But again, I'll tell you that, you know, whether I'm supplying metal or glass or liquid asphalt or chlorine in a lot of these spaces, it's still a way for the diversity to happen. And as a result of that, then I'm hiring other people. You know, it's a small business. So I just wanted to kind of share some of the variety of ways that we might be able to focus on this as we grow it. And obviously, when you're growing, there's some pains around that, but I welcome the opportunity, and I too will stay in touch with everybody or anyone if you have some questions about that, the path that we have to take sometimes, because again, we're hopefully doing it together. So, I mean, we may suffer some of the pain, but I want to thank you for at least the opportunity to try to have a conversation about this as it relates to the dollars that you may ultimately be responsible for, and I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't have any other forms. Is there anyone else from the public who would like to speak at this time? Okay, I will close public participation at this time. Next, we'll move on to communications. Since this is our first meeting, I thought it'd be nice if we could just go around the room and everyone introduce themselves, since I don't think anyone or everyone knows each other. So I'll start. My name's Jamala Rogers. I am on the county board. I represent District 10. That's me. I guess we'll go this way. We'll start with you, Bart.
There we go. Okay. I'm Barb Bressner, and I am involved with the annual Disability Resource Expo. I've been involved with that as coordinator initially for probably about 14 years or so, since 2007. And we now have new coordinators, Dylan and Allison Boot. And so anyway, we do this every year. It's a great way to for folks to learn about what resources are out there for people with all types of disabilities.
Kathleen Robbins, I'm a veteran and I've got Parkinson's. So, and I'm, other than that, I'm not, I was asked to be on the board, so I said yes.
My name is Benjamin Beaupre. I'm affiliated with a whole bunch of different organizations, but I'm just here as a citizen representative. So.
My name is Jason Benda. I am a county employee. I am one of the custodians in this building. I was asked to be on this committee for several reasons. I'm autistic, and that can be viewed as a marginalized population, so that's something that I have some concerns about. Also, as a custodian in this building, I get to do similar things to what Claire Gammons mentioned, that I walk around. I walk into a lot of offices. I see a lot of people. I see a lot of what goes on in this building. So I have I've seen different perspectives from what goes on in this building, and I've been asked to bring some of that to bear to this committee. Thank you.
I'm Heather Rumpel, and I have been a county employee for almost 32 years. I've worked in both the circuit clerk's office and am currently an employee in the probation department.
I'm Cece Phillips. I also work for the county. I'm in the circuit clerk's office currently. I've been here since 2014, but I'm also our local union president for AFSCME, local number 900.
Good evening. I'm Samantha Carter, chair for Champaign County Board, also District 6 representative. I'm also a small business owner. I've been a small business owner in this community for over 20 years.
Awesome. Good evening. I'm Irene Weathersby. My current position is with Regional Planning Commission Head Start Program as an outreach coordinator. However, I do sit on the Village of Rantoul Board of Trustees. I've served in the capacity of Peoria Black Chamber of Commerce for the president. I served under former Governor Quinn under African American Economic Employment Opportunity throughout the state of Illinois. It's glad to be here. I was asked to serve on this board on the committee for my CEO, Mr. DeLizzo, so thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. My name is Akuia Forkusek-Trey, and I am the director of the New American Welcome Center. So nice to be here.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jacqueline Calipenny. I am the Chief Executive Officer of the Calipenny Foundation. It's a nonprofit organization that assists girls in sub-Saharan Africa and an emphasis in Malawi get out of child marriages, as well as focusing on international students throughout the diaspora, focused in Champaign, Illinois, at the University of Illinois at Urbana, get resources and funding for the things that they need as international students. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name's J.J. Farney. I'm County Board Member from St. Joe, which is District 3. My day job is I am a teacher at the Juvenile Detention Center. I work for the Regional Office of Education. I'm their education coordinator, and I do truancy work as well. So glad to be here.
Thank you, everyone, for the introductions, and thank you, everyone, for being a part of this committee. Does any member of the task force have communications that they would like to share at this time? Okay. Communications is closed. We'll move on to new business. Okay. The mission slash purpose for this task force. The County Board believes having a diverse, equitable, inclusive, and accessible workforce will provide culturally competent services to the residents of the county. Economic justice to the group historically restricted access to financial independence and demonstrate a commitment to all residents of Champaign County. And the County Board wants to have a conscious effort to increase the county employment rates of individuals who are ethically and racially diverse, veterans, LGBTQ+, and individuals with disabilities. And this subcommittee has been established to prepare and present a request for proposal and a grading tool to the County Board, Champaign County Board, at their December 2024 meeting. The county purchasing policy and RFP process. This is informational only, and I'm going to ask Michelle to give us a brief overview of the county's purchasing policy and RFP process.
Hello, everyone. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about the technical aspects of how we do purchasing in Champaign County. Please don't stress about it. That's my role to be here, is to help you with this really boring technical part. But I just want to give you a framework so you understand what we have to operate within. I also will hand out the couple of pages from our purchasing policy that apply to what we're doing, so you can take that with you this evening. But again, please do not feel like you need to be an expert in any of this stuff. We're doing the request for proposal for two reasons. We anticipate, one, it's going to cost more than $30,000, so we have to do a request for proposal. And two, we want to get a bunch of information from potential vendors before we decided which one we wanted to go with, and this is how we would do that. So that's why we're doing the request for proposal process. Here is an example of a recent request that we did this year. This is the request we did for our moving services. It's got in the beginning, and this is on our website, and I'll send the link out to everybody after the meeting if you want to look at it. But it's got a bunch of really boring language in the beginning that's just like plain old contractual stuff that is pretty boiler, and we don't really need to worry about that. What this one has that is useful is we've got this kind of general summary of the county, which I think is actually a pretty important piece for you all to be thinking about, is what is the information we want to be giving to the potential consultants that we will be vetting? What do they need to know about us in order for them to give us a good proposal and to give us information that's useful for us to evaluate whether or not they're going to be able to provide the service that we're looking for? For the moving one, it's easy. It's very technical information, you know, how many offices, where we're located, stuff like that. But for this one, it's going to be pretty different what information we want them to have. And then we get into the scope of services in this one. So this is where we get into a lot of minutia on this specific one about our moving needs, when we're moving, where we're moving to, how many offices we're moving, a broad overview of everything that's in the offices, how many desks, how many filing cabinets. It didn't need to be exact, but it needed to give them an idea, right? So our scope of services for this RFP, we're going to have to think about, again, what are we asking for from the companies that might be bidding on this? What is the information that we want them to give back to us for us to evaluate, that kind of thing. So that's like a really broad overview of an RFP. In the moving one, we also went through like just things like that we wanted them to know about our expectations. There's like a section on safety. We wanted it clear to them that they were going to have to rope off the areas. They couldn't leave stuff out where the public could have to interact with it, right? Like, so things that we already knew from the get-go, we expected from the company. We put in the RFP to make sure that they could meet those requirements and they understood what our expectation was. So that's another thing that we can be thinking about from this process is what are your immediate expectations that we should just communicate right off the bat of anyone that's interested in bidding on this potential service to us. And then we have instructions to the bidders, which we can talk about once we get to that point, is how do you want them to bid, right? Do you want them to only provide something in writing? Do you want to immediately require a presentation? Do you have a specific form you want to create so that you get specific types of information? There's all kinds of things that we could do with that and different ways that we could take that. It's your RFP, so you get to kind of make the rules on how people actually submit the information to you. This one, we just, you know, write up a proposal and send it to us is how we did it. For this one, something that we offered was we had two sessions where they could come in and we walked through the building with them to show them everything. So again, you can kind of think out of the box, like what would be a good way for you to interact with them through their proposal for you all to get, again, a good analysis and the information from them that you want to get. So we can be thinking about that throughout the process as well. So the second part to the RFP process, once you get the proposals, is how you evaluate the proposal. So we do need a bit of a structured system. Let me see if I can make this fit on the screen. No, wrong way, sorry. So this is an example one that I've just made up, but this is what we could have used for the movers, right? So you have multiple people who evaluate an RFP. Everyone fills it out. That's the tabs along the bottom here. So reviewer one filled it out based on their assessment of the proposal, and everyone assesses the same categories and the same information. That is a bit of a requirement. Like, we have to have a proven structured system for how we're evaluating the proposals. So for this example, I just made up three reviewers. Everybody went through and evaluated them, threw in their own comments, what was maybe important to them, what did they notice maybe was missing from the proposal or something that was really good about the proposal, things like that. And then on the first tab, everything tallies up automatically, right? So then you can see over here the total scores that each company got. You do not have to award based on the scoring, but it gives you a framework to have the conversation of, here's how we felt about the companies, here's what we thought about the proposals. So I'm spending time on this because as the group that's going to write the RFP, you're also the best group to write this grading tool, right? Like, and we can do that as we're writing the RFP. What are the really important pieces? Like, this is a deal breaker. If they don't have this, we're not moving forward reviewing their proposal. Or this is something that we want scored on this type of scale. Or this is a specific piece of information that we really want to highlight and be graded by everyone. So all those kinds of things as we're going. So I think that this will naturally create itself as we move through the questions that we want to ask, the information we want to get. But this is just as important as the actual RFP, because if we have an RFP and then we have no way to, like, you know, equally compare them all and then be able to have a facilitated conversation about those grades, then we just have a bunch of RFPs that we can't do a lot with at that point. So that was just my quick synopsis of our RFP process. Are there any questions about that?
I have two questions. My first question is, what is the difference between an RFP and an RFQ? Because as I look through the list of previous bid requests on the county's website, I read the one you showed here, 2024-01, which is an RFP. I read the RFP 2023-001, which was for the phone system. And both of those are for tangible goods. Mm-hmm. And then I found RFQ 2021-012 for Champaign County Workforce Study Consultant Services, which sounded a whole lot more like what we're looking at here. But that's an RFQ, and we're being asked to write an RFP, so I don't understand the difference.
So you could absolutely write an RFQ. I use RFP as the default larger umbrella term. But if you feel like what you really want to know is much more qualification-based and that the RFP terminology of proposal doesn't fit what you want to be doing, we can absolutely call it an RFQ. There's no rules about which one you want to use. And we could even decide that towards the end, right? Like, we can just agree to use the term RFP or RFQ, whichever one you want, and then we can get to the end and be like, okay, which one does this feel is the more accurate title, and then pick that title.
I believe it was Patrick that said in the public comments about that there's a number of these RFPs around different counties and cities have them. Do you have some examples that we can look at, or are we inventing the wheel from scratch? Or
I don't think that we're inventing the wheel. I have not gone and got examples because I wasn't sure if you all wanted to be looking at that before you got started, or if you wanted to kind of start on your own, that kind of thing. I can definitely go get some. I'm sure there are plenty out there for the employment diversity and for the vendor diversity. I think it might be a little difficult to find one that blends them both together. So if that's something that you all are thinking about doing, I think that might be where our work ends up being, is taking those two issues and putting them together in the same RFP. But we can absolutely find examples for both of them. Yeah.
Chair Carter.
Thank you. I was wondering about a diversity, equity, and inclusion accessibility officer. Is that an option to have for the county?
Well, I think that's a board conversation. The county board, yeah. I don't, that's not my call to make.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Jason.
I did have a second question regards the scoring rubric that we talked about here. Your example presented this rubric, but had different evaluators assigning different scores under the same rubric, looking at the same thing, which seems like not how I understand a scoring rubric to work. Because I understand a scoring rubric to work as, here's the rubric, and any evaluator who's using the rubric should get to the same result. I mean, maybe that's my background in education, but that's what I think of when I see what you presented.
Yeah, so two things. One, I just threw a bunch of fake data in that to make an example, but the real rubric probably is a lot more in line across all the reviewers. And once everyone's filled out the rubric, then you all come together and have a conversation of, oh, well, here's why I did a 4 and here's why I did a 5, and, you know, discuss all of that. And, you know, sometimes people change their score. Sometimes people decide that they just value something, you know, or they just feel like it wasn't that level of quality to me, or whatever kind of situation. But I apologize for the confusion, because I did just kind of toss numbers up there just to get the example made for this specific situation. But the conversation after everyone grades on the rubric is usually very useful and very enlightening as to what people are thinking about when they are using the tool.
Thank you. Yes, the idea of conversation after grading makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
Yeah, and so just to follow up on that, again, apologize for causing confusion. And then in that conversation, like I said, you've got the scoring. It's not, it doesn't mean that just because someone scored the highest, you have to award the contract to them. It's in the conversation where you start talking like, well, here they did award it. They did get the highest number, but here are my concerns. Or I really want to go with this vendor for this specific reason. I realize they didn't score the highest, that kind of thing. And you have that in that conversation and you come together and then you present a recommendation to the board committee that is oversight of whatever issue the RFP is about, as to like, we want to go with this vendor, and here's our reasons why.
Any other questions? I would like to say something. So based on our public communications, we heard from three gentlemen who brought to our attention the issues of lack of diversity with vendors and contractors. Is that something that we can include in this process? And if so, how will we go about it?
Yeah, I don't know why you couldn't include it. I think we probably need to just think of it as maybe sections in the RFP. So we've got the section that's like employment-based, and we'll have a very specific set of questions of what we're trying to get from the consultants about that. And then I would imagine we'll have different questions that we'll want to ask about how the consultant has expertise and can provide guidance on vendor-contractor diversity. And I think we can probably get a lot of guidance from some examples, but I don't know why the RFP couldn't be expanded to, or the original charge of the task force couldn't be expanded.
Thank you. Chair Carter.
Can we still add some members to our task force? I think it would be very beneficial to add a contractor on here.
I don't know that that's up to me.
You can, but it needs to be done by resolution through the full county board.
Okay. Yeah. So I can get with you or someone
to talk about
that.
Yeah, we can talk about the process for that.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Any other questions? Okay. Moving on to necessary resources, this is discussion only. We would like to discuss any resources that the task force feels we will need to complete the necessary steps. Does anyone want to start? JJ.
I'd love to see other municipalities, counties, what they've done, because I think we're going to get a lot of good ideas from places that have already implemented these policies. And so if we could get some of that, that would be fantastic.
Is anyone aware of any specifically government entities that you have heard their diversity is doing very well, and they know what they're doing? They're much farther in this journey than we are. And if you think of something later, just feel free to email me. But if you think of anything, I think that would be a great place to start in trying to get some information. I don't want to go pull an RFP from an organization that's like did a terrible job with it, right? I don't know how helpful that would be. So,
Chair Carter, did you have something?
Yeah, I had mentioned City of Champaign Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Department. I was hoping to see that someone would be on this task force representing them, but
She was not able to be on the task force due to time constraints, but she did say she was willing to come and give a presentation about what the City of Champaign is doing, so, and their work. So I think that would be the next best thing that we could get.
I think that'd be helpful. Thank you. Anyone else with any ideas on what we need? Okay. Go ahead.
Sorry. I think Patrick Thompson had talked about the Business Enterprise Program through the state of Illinois, and they have a really good diversity program and discussing us adopting something that they've already put together.
I will get the full official documentation of that and send that out to everybody.
Thank you. Anyone else? Any ideas? Okay. Next steps, discussion only. To move on to item D, what items do we want to discuss/work on at our next meeting? Anyone want to start? Okay, JJ.
So hopefully by our next meeting, we may have some of these documents to start looking at and seeing what appears to be good ideas, things that we see that, oh, that's a great idea they have in Peoria, and, oh, I see this is in McLean County. That doesn't fit in with the way we want to do things here in Champaign County. So I think having some of that data is going to help us first to maybe it would make sense maybe to review some of those at our next meeting. And I think that might foster some discussion amongst us as well. I don't think you know, we've got until December to do this. I don't think we're going to have a lot of answers on our first meeting. We really need to take this information to heart and find the things that we want to do here in Champaign County. So, and I know this is our first meeting, and a lot of you have never been on a board or a task force or something like this. So don't worry about thinking we got to get things done right away. We do have time to do this and to do it right. And by getting information from people who have already done it before, government loves to steal from government. It's a good thing. There's a lot of good ideas out there already. And so I think it'll bring it, right now we're all sitting here staring at each other going, boy, I don't know what we want. Well, that's because we haven't seen what's already out there. And so if we can see some of those things, I think that's going to help us out to decide what our next steps need to be. So it might be that our next meeting needs to be more or less a study session to study and talk about the things that are in these other proposals or these other documents that other counties have already implemented. And that might be a good way to start us off and say, okay, now we need this. We want more information on this. Maybe we could have someone come and present to us from another county or another entity.
Jason?
I agree with Vice Chair Farney in that we right now need to be in the information gathering stage, very much so. I think that at our next meeting, assuming that we've received resources from Michelle and heard from the public contributions tonight, gave us some ideas about where we need to go. I foresee a lot of discussion at the next meeting, and not looking at anything that involves putting pen to paper, because that's not where we are going to be yet. I do caution that while yes, we do have a lot of time, December is 4 months away. Those 4 months can come real fast. And I don't want us to be in a position in November where we're scrambling to try to figure out, what are we going to present to the board? Because we're charged with, as has been stated, we're charged with presenting something to the board in December. So I want to make sure that we still have that end goal in sight and don't get bogged down in thinking, oh, we have lots of time, we have lots of time. Neurodivergent people are very good with time blindness, so that's something that I definitely think about. But I agree that we need to be in gathering information, and we need to be just having a lot of discussion at the next meeting.
Jacqueline?
Is it possible to get a little bit of the numbers on how many RFPs were given to diverse vendors or diverse organizations, just so that we have an idea of who was able to win and how they were able to, you know what I'm saying, like get that? Because just going off of Clerk Amon's conversation, and there was like, I guess, a bid for $40 million and 18% should have gone to diverse vendors, and that isn't what happened. And so just trying to figure out what the numbers do look like, so that way we have an idea of what our goal should really be. So if the goal for the county is 18%, but we're at 2%, we have an idea of how we can be writing the RFP, so that way maybe it can attract more diverse vendors or diverse businesses, and be able to also put together like an action plan for, I don't remember who said it. I think it was like Mr. Neely might have said it, about like an educational plan for diverse vendors or diverse contractors after we've put together what these RFPs are going to look like, and help them feel more comfortable walking into these spaces. So if we know that our goal is 18%, but right now only 2% of the population is applying, then that gives us an idea of what we need to focus on.
Yeah, for sure. So, and I had already taken a note, so I can get you a couple of different things. So just to be clear, the $40 million is two specific capital projects that we're doing. The county by no means spends that kind of money on a regular basis. This is a once in a 50-year situation. And we do have extensive data on the minority usage in that. We actually have a project labor agreement for all of that capital work. So I'll send you the project labor agreement. I'll send you the statistics that we get monthly from the contractors. So what ends up happening is it's the pressures on the contractors to use diversity in their subcontractors, and we have a ton of data on that. So I'll put all that together. I'll just pull it from the facilities committee. They already have it, and I'll send that over to you. And we're already also required yearly to put together a report of for all the commodities and services that the county just uses regularly, a vendor minority report on that as well. So I'll send you the link for the last that started just a couple of years ago, became a state law. So I'll send you the link for the last 2 years that we've had that. Our problem with that is if the vendors choose not to fill out the form that tells us what the demographics are of their company, they just kind of get lumped into this unknown category. So the data's kind of there, but then there's also this big piece of the pie that's just we don't know anything about those vendors. But I can send you that as well.
Chair Carter.
Thank you. I would like to mention that I am a part of a couple of different task forces. Never have I had a time frame on those task force. As you will find, gathering this information is going to take time, and making sure that all the appropriate parties are involved during this process would also take time. So in the same sentence, we're being told not to feel rushed, but that does kind of seem rushed, because we would only have four meetings if I don't know how that would work out. I don't think that there should be a time limit on that. The other comment that I wanted to mention, Larry Ivory with the Champaign County Black Chambers, Champaign County Black Chambers, William Cowles, are very good resources to reach out to as far as getting those listed businesses that do contractual work in our area. So they may not just all be local, because I've heard that a lot of times that they haven't been able to use those contractors because they're not in this immediate area. But if you reach out to the Champaign County Black Chambers of Commerce, you will see that they're from all over the state of Illinois.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to speak to the timeline piece real fast. The idea was that we will, fingers crossed, get the increase to the public safety sales tax in November, and so by January, release the RFP to go out for bid so that we can do the evaluation and get something implemented by spring. So it's not a set in stone deadline in any capacity, but it's just a deadline of we want to get this out, we want to get the consultant in here, we want to get this process moving. So if you feel like there's too much information and you need more meetings, it would not be tragic in any sense if we went past December. The intent was just that by January we would know what our financial status is going to be for the next year, and we can get the RFP released and we can get moving on this whole process. So
is there a backup plan if the public safety sales tax doesn't pass?
In general, no, there's not a backup plan for anything in the county if the public safety sales tax doesn't pass. So yeah.
Anyone else? Jason?
Jacqueline brought up the point. Mr. Neely talked about being drawn to welcoming environments. I thought that was a hugely important statement. I've got it underlined here in my notes, and I wanted to emphasize that and thank Mr. Neely for bringing that up. I feel like that is our goal, or rather that is the goal of the end process, is that we are going to create a more welcoming environment to anyone of any race, ethnicity, gender, neurodivergence, any of this. The goal that we are trying to set up is to get someone to tell us how we can best do this. And this more welcoming environment, I thought that was wonderfully stated by Mr. Neely, and I wanted to emphasize that.
Irene?
Yes, thank you. I just want to mention, as a former president of the Black Chamber of Commerce over in Peoria County, Mr. Larry Ivory, my former boss, guides the black-owned businesses, the minority businesses, the DBAs, the women in business, and we worked very close to those business owners. I sat at the bidding table with one of my women business owners who secured a contract because I was able to provide her with resources to support her. A lot of black-owned businesses don't have the knowledge base to become certified. So that's what we do as a Black Chamber of Commerce. We coach our business owners so they can secure prime contractors. Because when you're not positioned to secure prime contractors, you don't have the bonding. You don't have the insurance because you don't have access to that kind of monetary value to secure those kind of funding streams. And so as a committee, that's what we should do is help and provide those great resources and support systems. Thank you.
Maybe it'll be a good idea to see if Mr. Ivory can come and give us a presentation, see if he's available.
Yeah, I can reach out.
Okay. I would also, does anyone else have anything? Okay, go ahead, Ben.
The other one, County Board Chair Carter mentioned with the City of Champaign, that possible presentation, if we can kind of get the gears working for presentations, that way we aren't sitting around.
Yes, yeah, so I actually wanted to clarify, do you want to do the kind of data study session and the City of Champaign presentation all next month, or do you want to do data and then presentation at the following? Like, I don't want to schedule too much that we can't have a conversation, so I don't know what you all are thinking about that piece.
You guys can kind of voice your opinions now so that we can give her direction, because we've already been here an hour. So if we have a presentation and a study session, so do you guys want to break it up, or?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I think they're going to break it up, so study session first and then presentations. Okay.
Okay. It might take a few months to get him anyway, so.
Does anyone else have anything?
Or William Cowles as a backup.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Councilman
William Cowles.
Okay. I would like to know. Oh, sorry. Does someone else have? Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to add, my job is just to be staff support for you all. So if you come up with something else that we haven't talked about, feel free to email me. I'll try to find it. If I can't find it, I'll tell you why I couldn't find it. If you have any questions, whatever. I know it's a little weird to be dropped into a task force for an entity that you're not like engaged with on a day-to-day basis. So whatever your questions are, not too big, not too small, feel free.
Kathleen? Yes.
Just if we can get some stuff that we can look at a week before, so we're not just getting a bunch of paper.
No, I'm going to start sending you stuff as soon as I start finding it, so you're going to get a multiple emails from me, but I can get you our stuff. I know we have that. I can get that done this week, and I can start as soon as I start getting RFPs that look like they're from decent other government organizations that have reasonable diversity, I'll just start sending you those as I get them so that you're not getting an avalanche of paper a week before a meeting.
That's great.
So, yeah.
Is there a way that you could get us some information on the bidding process for minorities so that we can kind of see how the process works and why they're not getting the jobs, and also the recruitment process for people, employees, staff for the county? And then is there a way that you could get us some information about the implementation of Resolution 4872 that Clerk Ammons discussed, so we can see what that is and why it's not working, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, you said 4872?
Yes. 4782? Okay.
4782. What? Does anybody know what year that was?
2004. Yeah.
2004. Okay.
I think we all wrote it down.
4872?
Okay. I did too, but
I will search both and figure out which one it is.
It's okay. Does anyone else have anything for this, for next steps? Okay, great. So moving on to other business, Megan is going to send out an email to everyone so that she can try to arrange dates to see when everyone's available for our next meeting, and then she'll email everyone the next meeting date and time. Go ahead, Megan.
Are you looking at, like, September, where you usually the rooms usually open, like, the second to third week of the month? Is that your timeline, I guess, is what I'm asking for your next meeting?
I was hoping so. Does anyone have any issues with that? So you said the 18th through the 20th of September? Okay. Any other weeks that people know that they're not available? Yes, Barb?
I am gone from the 1st through the 8th.
Okay. So maybe the 2nd or last week? Okay.
The 2nd week doesn't work for me. We have welcoming week, September 13th. Through the 22nd, so perhaps the last week of September.
Does anyone have any issues with the last week?
No.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Megan. I do not have a chair's report. Is there any other business? Seeing none, I call this meeting adjourned at 7:31 p.m. Thank you, everyone, for your attendance and participation. Have a good night.